Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance 877-420-8255. Well, good morning and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen here and Gene Dean. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Fred. It seems that since the last time we talked, so much has happened. I mean, we've had Christmas, we've had New Year's. And
there's been a lot of holidays that went on since we was here last.
I know. It's very confusing as to which day of the week it might be.
I know. That happens to me quite frequently to where I'm not sure exactly what day. Don't have to be a holiday to throw me off, you know.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I want to kind of talk about something here again. We've talked about a lot on the show, but it seems like with starting New Year off, there's a lot of things that we've got to do to get things in order. A lot of people have set resolutions, you know, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But the Five Wishes document we've talked about a lot. We've given out over 1,000 copies of this so far.
That's good, because that is such a helpful document. It really is.
It is. It is. The Five Wishes document, for those who may not have heard us talk about it in the past, is a document that is a living will and a medical power of attorney. It's a legal document that you can create. Basically, it's created for you. You basically fill it out, fill this information out with your information, and then there's some choices you make, whether, you know, the type of life support, whether you want life support, things like that, who you want to make your medical decisions, like if you're going to have to go in for some type of a surgery or something like that. So this is one of the documents that we make available at Henson Mortuary through the Resource Center there, and it's been widely received. It's a free document. You come in and pick that up. But Wish 1 and 2 talks about the living will, the medical power of attorney, and then 3, 4, and 5 kind of goes into more of a personal part of the five wishes. My wish for how comfortable I want to be if I'm at the end of life, and it goes through some questions there. And wish for my wish for how I want people to treat me, which is very important. And then this wish right here, which I think is pretty interesting here, my wish for what I want my loved ones to know, maybe things that you've not communicated with your loved ones in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to say things, verbalize things to people, and you know, a lot of people will write notes or send emails or whatever, and this is a way right here that you can kind of go through and say, this is how, what I want you to know, how I really feel.
And you know, Fred, the living will and the medical power of attorney, that is so important, because that's one of the first things that they will ask you if
at a hospital.
You go to the ER, if you're admitted to the hospital, they want to know that.
Right. Yeah. It is. It's a very important document. So if you would like to have your free copy of this, you can contact the offices at Henson Mortuary, and that's 736-8986, 304, 736-8986, and someone there will definitely make sure they can get you a copy of that.
You're located on East P. Ridge
we're
Road?
We're on East P. Ridge Road there in Huntington.
Right, so, but it's near the Barbersville.
We're really right there in Barbersville is where we're at, but it's a Huntington address. But, yeah, we are right there in Barbersville. So feel free to call and pick that up. We've had a lot of people here recently picking these up, mm-hmm. and I think it had to do something to do with the first of the year again, you know.
Yeah, people trying are making to, resolutions to do things.
Exactly, and it's good to have this stuff in order. You know, and I was telling someone, one of the employees at the funeral home the other day, we were talking about it, and he says, you filled one out? And I said, I did. I was one of the first ones. I filled one out before I ever endorsed it myself to start giving them out to the community. And I said, it's one of those things that when you start asking yourself these personal questions, you look at it and you go, oh, we can fill this thing out in just a couple minutes. But then you start thinking, you go, well, who do I want? You know, I definitely want my wife to make these decisions for me, you know, because I know she's going to do, hopefully she'll do what I want, you know. But then there's other things that you think about that is really important decisions that when you get thinking about, they start asking you these questions, you go, wow, this is real stuff that I need to make sure that I have down, because I don't want the state doing this for me. I don't want someone that is not have my best interest at heart doing this for me.
Exactly. So. But, you know, some people tend to be a little bit superstitious about
right.
filling out anything that deals with the end of life. But my thought about that is get over it and do it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that we just have to go through and do, you
yeah.
know. I mean,
yeah.
it's called being prepared. And yeah. that's what this show is all about, is
that's
planning.
Right. Preparation
yeah.
for tomorrow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, you know, in talking about planning a little bit, you know, we've talked about a lot of different subject matter on this show over the last year and a half or so. And Today we've got a guest with us in the studio that I think is going to be able to give us a little bit of insight from a different perspective. And I think it's always good to get different perspectives on things so that our listeners can kind of get a well-rounded view of things that help them to make better decisions and stuff like that. So in the studio today, we've got Pastor Keith Waters. He is a contact pastor at Christ Temple Church here in Huntington. And Keith, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Fred. Nice to be here.
Welcome, Fred.
And nice Keith. To meet you, G. Yeah,
yes, okay. Welcome all of us.
I can tell you apart. I
really is he that good looking? Now, come on.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Both of you need your eyes checked, but that's another subject.
I think I put my contacts in this morning.
But, you know, Pastor Keith deals with, on a regular basis, he deals with families that have gotten some news sometimes that may not be the best news in the world. You know, they've heard that mom or dad or uncle, whoever it is, may have got some news that they're terminally ill. They're faced with some really tough decisions. They're faced with just processing that information a lot of times is a big deal. And then he also is involved with families who are prior to a death, and then that walks that journey with them through that death. So I felt like that he would be able to give us some insight today when he deals with these families, quite a few families on a frequent basis every year.
You know, Fred, I was going to ask Keith what exactly the title contact minister or contact pastor means, but now I see you are the contact.
I make a joke out of it. I just chase people.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, I just I want to be there if they need us.
Right, right.
It's just that simple for me. Yeah. You know, Fred was talking about grief and different things like that. I just, you know, I learned a phrase from John Maxwell years ago that says, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care."
Right. Well, that's a great expression. Mm-hmm.
So it is.
That's what I want to do, is I want people to know we care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been at Christ Temple for quite some time?
I've been at Christ Temple most of my life. I've been staff there for almost 12 years.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great. So you know a lot about this area then.
I've been around, yes.
he's a Huntington boy.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong resident of Huntington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Old Guyandotte boy, but we won't put that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
So what's wrong with Guyandotte?
Well, there's two of us sitting here that are Guyandotte boys.
That's why we brought it up.
I was raised in Guyandotte myself.
Well, sorry, I can't join you.
Gene, we're going to have to take you up there and
give you the grand tour.
Keith, let's talk just real quickly here about what can people do when people are, and we're talking about our listeners, when someone is actually going through a loss, mm-hmm. and they've already found out that, you know, mom's just passed away. Sometimes we don't know really what to do, how to help those people.
Most of the time we don't know what
to do. We don't. You know, we've talked about this before, Gene, and Keith and I actually talked about this. We're taught when we go through school, we're taught all kinds of things. We're taught how to react to certain situations. We're taught how to balance checkbooks. We're taught how to do all kinds of things. Not one time do I ever recall, and anybody that we've ever had on the show ever recall, that when there's a loss of a loved one, that they taught us, they said, okay, when mom passes, this is how you're going to react, and this is what you're to do. We don't know.
Yeah, and even if it's not somebody in the immediate family, if it's just a friend or somebody you feel you need to go to the visitation or something, you don't know what to say when you're standing in that line waiting to greet the family.
No, the only thing you can do is offer your sympathies and your prayers and let them know you're there. The problem with most of us is we want to do something for mm-hmm. them, and there isn't anything to do.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. we can't grieve for them. You know, during a time of grief, and especially around the funerals and stuff like that, families converge. If they're all over the country, they come together at that time. But just in a matter of, say, weeks, they're already distributed back to wherever their home was.
That's right. It's the time after the funeral, isn't it, that's
yes,
so
it is.
Difficult.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah, because then people, especially elderly widows, sometimes feel like they're all alone at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they do.
I want to come back to that. I want to talk about that here in just a minute. We need to take just a quick break, but I want to come back, and I want to talk about what you said there when we come back from break. But you're listening to Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean in the studio here with you. And our guest today is Keith Waters. And Keith was a minister in the area at Christ Temple Church here in Huntington, where he's contact pastor. And when we left for break, Keith, we were talking a little bit about some things that could be helpful to people that have experienced loss. And, you know, you brought up a good point. During the visitation and funeral proceedings and things like that, all the family kind of gather in from all over the country. You know, everybody comes in when there's a death, and we're together. But it's after that, I think you were leading up to, but it's after that that they're alone a lot of times.
A lot of times.
So that's the most. That's probably the most important part, wouldn't you think? I mean, I think it's very important, Gene. We've talked about that a lot, about how important it is that we're there for people when there's a loss. It is important. But a lot of times, I can think back when I've had loss, I remember certain individuals that were there, but there were so many people and there was so much going on, and my mind, frankly, is not as sharp as it once was. I mean, because I've had something devastating.
Oh, come on, Fred.
Well, it's not as sharp today as it once was. But, I mean, you know, when you've experienced loss, I mean, you're not thinking clearly a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you're in shock. Sometimes you're numb.
Right.
You're overwhelmed because people want to do something, and yet there is anything to do. And I'm like you. I experienced a sibling loss a few months back. It was overwhelming, and frankly, don't remember a whole lot about those few days. I know there was a great outpouring of love and support, but you're just getting through those few days. It's after that you have to work
the time between the death and the funeral. I mean, there's so many people around and the age-old custom of bringing in food and helping that way. But then after that, you know, there's this big open space, as it were, in your life.
And you, with your experience in seeing families, do you feel like, I mean, is that one of the things that is probably is something that is top of mind for families a lot of times, is that it's the after experience when is the loneliest, when they really need people reaching out to them the most, right?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of times I'll go to a funeral event, and if it's, say, people I know, it's their mom and dad, and say it's dad that has passed away and mom's still there, first thing I do to the siblings is look at them and say, mom's going to need you here in a few weeks. You may be strong as a iron rock today, but in just a few weeks, everything that he did will all of a sudden come to bear and not be there, and they're going to need their children at that point in time. So you can't go back to life as normal because it's no longer that life.
It's a new normal.
It's
whatever,
a new normal.
Whatever that new normal is.
Yeah, I like
that
term.
So many details to take care of, and of course, you were referring to the five wishes document. I mean, that's something that's really helpful if you already have that, but if you don't, there's a lot of things to take care of. And
decisions you got to make on everything.
Yeah. That's right.
And as many of those decisions as you can have done ahead of time, the better off you are.
Yes.
Because
yes.
You're not going to be thinking clearly, like we said. And, you know, the one thing you don't want to do, I've said this to our staff, and, you know, when I was traveling years ago and I was doing training, you know, I would say it to funeral directors around the country, wedding planners, you know, they might have 6, 9, 12, 14 months to put something together. You've got 24, 48 hours to put a complete event together for this family. It has to be right with no mistakes. And you can't go back and correct it.
And so many family members and friends have to be notified, especially those who are out of town.
So it's the same for the family.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot. So the more that they can kind of get done ahead of time, the better off they're going to be as far as looking back, going, "Well, gosh, I wish we'd maybe done this. I forgot all about it." Because you're not going to think clearly about it.
Right.
Keith, let me ask you this: with we're talking about reaching out and helping people. You know, everybody's always looking for those golden words that they can say that's going to just make everything right, which they're not out there. Those words aren't to be had. And I've said many times, sometimes it's just a matter of sending a card. Sometimes it's a matter of a hug, a touch on the shoulder, a pat on the back. But there's other things. If you have skill sets, there's other things that you can do for people after the loss that maybe they may just not be up to doing. Let's say, you know, mom and dad always wanted to. He always mowed the grass. I mean, that's what he's still done, you know. Mm-hmm. And he passed away. Well, now mom's got this big decision and it sounds like a small decision, but it's a huge decision because she never had to deal with that. Now she's got to find somebody to cut the grass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so an offer to help in that simple task really is so good, so means so much.
Right. So what are some things that you think people could probably do? I mean, mowing grass, of course, you know.
Well, and a lot of times you're talking about people that can become very lonely.
Right.
So if you're handy, great, get your tools out and see what you can do to help. If you're not a handyman but you love the person, just spend time with them.
Right.
Just allow them the opportunity to talk out what they're feeling. A lot of times people just draw back into a shell, and begin to draw into themselves, and that's the wrong direction.
Right.
They got to move forward. You know, I'm not telling you to get over the grief. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. Anytime somebody comes to you and say you need to get over this, they're wrong.
Right.
If they would come to you and say, let me help you go through this or move forward, that's the right thing to do. Because everybody does it differently.
Yeah.
I think sometimes friends are afraid. They feel like they're intruding. But whereas if you called somebody who's just gone through a bereavement and you said, well, let's go out and get a meal together. Let's go to lunch or let's go to dinner or something like that. That would give the person an opportunity to talk. And that's something, Fred, that we've mentioned before on the air, is that when you see the grieving person, that it's okay to talk about something good that you remember about the person who's died.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I had someone come in the funeral home this week. We did the Grief in the Holidays event that we do our third year this year at HIMG. And we had someone come in the funeral home this week. And at that event, I basically said that. I said, you know, friends are leery about saying after the loss. They're leery about coming up to you and saying, Keith, you know, your brother was a man, he did this one time. I want you to know this story. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just like, man, I don't want to upset him, so I'm not going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He's already upset.
Yeah.
He's already hurting. But it would really make his day if you share that piece of information that he may not know.
Fond memories.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Those things are valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, invaluable, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And but this person told me, they said, you know, you said something at that event that I tried. And I said, go ahead. And that person said, I don't want to mention it to my friends because I don't want to rain on their parade while we're having dinner. You know, they invite me out to dinner, and I don't want to be the person that, you know, brings up something that's sad and changes the whole mood, because, you know, it can change the mood because people don't know how to react again. And so this person said, so I did that. I said, I want you guys to talk to me about my wife. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that person says, that has changed the whole turnaround. They're starting to tell me stories of things I did not know, funny things that's happened.
Right.
I'm healing now. I'm healing. I feel like I'm finally, he says, I was stuck.
Yeah.
And now I'm able to kind of start healing because these people are reaching out. So the most important thing, I think, sometimes is for people to understand it's okay to come up to Keith or to Fred or to Gene and say, this is this memory that I have of your loved one. And I just thought I'd share it with you. I didn't know if you knew it or not.
But what happened there was the person you're talking about freed his friends by telling them, hey, it's okay to talk about my wife.
Yeah, because they didn't feel free.
You're afraid to offend them. You're afraid to make them cry again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, be personal. We had an annual event as brothers and sisters that we do around Christmas. Well, he passed 4 to 5 months earlier. Well, we gathered for that annual event. We laughed, we cried, but we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about him and made fun of him with him not even being there. But it was a healing moment for all of us where we could do that and continue on our lives.
And I guess it's important for the bereaved one to start that conversation because maybe the friends, as you said, are not feeling free to do that. But if the bereaved person starts a conversation, then you know everybody feels free to chime in with it.
Well, and I think that's the whole purpose of like our show today, to talk about these type of things, because sometimes that's a huge step for the bereaved person to even have to do.
Yeah.
For them to have to step up and make that first step is huge. Mm-hmm. And that's why we as friends gotta get a better grasp of how this thing works. This grief is nasty. It is. It's nasty. And we got to kind of have a better understanding of what we can do as far as reaching out to them. You know, I've said it many times, family will say, or people, friends, and they mean no harm, but they'll say, if you need anything, call me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to call you.
Like you're going to.
They're not going to call you. It's up to you to go, I'm going to pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
Just a random call. Hey, I don't, you know, just let you know, I don't really know why I'm calling you.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Just call to say hello.
But I just called to say hello and let you know I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
That can go a long ways with people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially important dates.
Right.
Birthday, anniversary, those type of times.
Yeah.
Because at that point in time, the focus is on the loved one that's gone. So if you just pick up the phone and say, hey, I know that, you know, their anniversary and I love you and just, you know, you're there for them. You know, and what you was talking about earlier about people talking, it may be through tears.
Mm-hmm.
We are afraid of tears.
Right.
You know, it's be nice to let the tears flow, laugh through the tears.
Mm-hmm.
and just have a great, I'm all about great memories.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a, forgive me, I'm a pastor, there's a scripture in Philippians. I call it the whatsoever scriptures, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are, you know, all those whatsoevers. I always, at the end of it, look at them and say, find the whatsoever things are good and hold on to them.
Yeah. Focus on those. Yeah,
remember
absolutely.
Those memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the memories are all you've got at that point. And I think we've mentioned in the past, Gene, you know, at the funeral home, sometimes we'll make it available to families if they want to use that, but we'll put together what's called a memory book. And it's basically a leather book that's got blank white pages in it and Sharpies. And people that are coming there on the visitation are available to, they can sit there and they can write that one memory. You know, I went to high school.
Oh, okay.
In high school, I remember this. Or, and man, for the kids.
That's wonderful.
Oh, it's priceless.
Very good
because
idea.
You can take that thing home as a wife that maybe lost a husband, mm-hmm. or a brother, whatever, and you can sit there and go, I did not know that about my brother. That is, right. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are good things that can be done also. So sharing information, sharing memories is a big thing.
Yeah, looks like we're going to a break here, Fred.
Sure, it looks like we are, yeah. Keith, you can stay with us the next half of the show, right?
Sure, and.
Well, we've got our guest today, Gene, has been Keith Waters, contact pastor at Christ Temple Church, talking about some helpful tips for families going through some grief and loss. And you're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen in the studio here, and Gene Dean. And our guest today is Pastor Keith Waters. He is contact pastor at Christ Temple Church here in Huntington. And part of what he does is dealing with families on a, oh gosh, an up close basis, really. He's right involved in some of the most difficult times of their lives. And we left for our last break. We were talking about a lot of things that could be helpful to people. You know, some things that we've talked about this, Gene, people mean well, and there is some things that we need to avoid when we're talking to families, you know. I mean, moving on, telling somebody to move on, to get over it, as tough as that sounds, it's said a lot. And people can't just move on.
It's very unfeeling.
It's very unfeeling, right. And so there is some things that we need to make sure that we avoid, you know, and you would think those would be comments that would just make sense to us not to say, but it's said, right?
Yeah, well, again, and especially the one, people are fearful of tears. So
right.
You've had people even say, don't cry. Well, look, my emotions right now are a wreck. I'm not going to have the pressure on me that I can't express that that hurt.
Yeah, it can be very cathartic to for someone to cry.
Absolutely.
The tears, you know, so sometimes, again, I'm being personal, but when my brother passed, my sister's tears flowed easy.
Mm-hmm.
Mine didn't flow as well. But there were times when they came, and, you know, you gotta let that, you know, there's a hole in your heart. There, you have a hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to be able to deal with that hurt.
Yeah, I think it's helpful if a person can cry. Now, I'm like you. I don't cry easily,
right.
You know, and sometimes I regret that. But
right. Well, and
everybody's
different. I think sometimes it depends on our makeup a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just what Gene said. Everybody is different,
right.
And
yeah.
Everybody grieves differently.
Yeah, and you shouldn't try and feel, well, I must do this,
right.
Or I must do that. You're an
whatever
individual.
Whatever works for you, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the things that we can do for people, we talked about that, is, you know, I'll back up and say this. I say this a lot to families. You know, this is a journey they're on. This is not because there's a death and now 2 days have passed, the burial has taken place, and it's over. It's not over.
It's just a much
beginning.
Longer journey.
Just beginning.
It's a journey. And, you know, to be able to walk that journey, even if it's a periodical, if just periodically, that you walk that journey with somebody, which means you might once a month or every couple of weeks or whatever pick up the phone and call and maybe send a card. Hey, can I take you to lunch, Gene? Let's go to lunch. Let's just go to lunch. And you don't have to say what you're going to lunch about. Let's just go to lunch.
Yeah, and you can talk about a lot of things. You don't have to dwell on the loss necessarily.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. But if that comes up, I mean, it's okay to talk about that also.
Exactly. You know, there's one thing that I wondered, Keith, with your title of contact pastor at Christ Temple. Do you get to do hospital visitations with families that are about to? Okay. Yeah.
And again, there, it's even if you're talking end-of-life visitation at the hospital, main thing for me, one, I like to try to be positive with prayer. Mm-hmm. The other thing for me is just hold their hand. And if a hospital can overwhelm you with information,
the doctors
come in and they start talking doctor, and you need an interpreter a lot of times.
Yeah, it'll be more than one doctor. You can be sure of that.
Yes,
which is good.
But they don't speak English; they speak doctor.
They speak doctor,
and that can just.
I wondered where you were going with that.
Yeah, no, they don't. They speak doctor, yeah. And we don't understand those terms. Now, you have some great doctors that can explain the terms where you understand it, and you have some doctors that, and it's not an issue of which one. There's some doctors that can't really explain what they're talking about, and I'm really okay if they don't explain what they're talking about, as long as they know what they're talking about and they can do it. But that unknown, the helplessness of not being able to do something, those are very difficult. And in a hospital, especially end of life, sometimes time stands still.
The days are very long, and the nights even longer.
You're staring at an individual that could be in a coma, unresponsive. And, you know, that's almost torture, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So you just want to be there for them. Offer them a cup of coffee if you can. Hold their hand.
Yeah.
Encourage them to take a walk down the hallway for a few minutes, just to get them out of the room if they will.
Yeah. I guess we're really, really fortunate in the tri-state area to have such good medical care available.
Oh, yes, we are.
You know, one of the things you mentioned, you know, those were excellent ideas as far as when you're visiting somebody in the hospital, as far as for the layperson, someone that's not a minister, just people that want to go and visit somebody to show that they care, things that they can do to be there. But let's talk a little bit about, is there a time frame? You know, we always say we don't want to wear out our welcome, and you don't want to wear somebody out either. But, I mean, should we be brief when we go to hospital visits like that? I mean, or should we just kind of play that by ear? How do you judge that?
For most people, it needs to be brief.
Yeah.
There are some people that sit down there and are there forever. Right. Now, if you're my best friend,
it's different.
You need to hang out.
Right.
But if you're a third cousin that we haven't seen in 10 years, don't come and go over everything that we've, you know, our lives. I'm not interested.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know. So you need to have a little wisdom there, and you know, we're well meaning. We want to help. We just sometimes don't have good judgment in those areas.
Right.
Yeah, we need to be very sensitive.
Yes,
absolutely.
We do.
Absolutely. And that's the whole purpose of this conversation today, so that we can kind of give that. I mean, there's some people, be honest with you, I mean, some people just don't know. And you don't know what you don't know, right?
Exactly.
And, I mean, that's the whole purpose of this show, is that we can give people information. And, you know, that went a great direction there as far as talking about hospital visitation, because a lot of people don't know when I go, how long do I stay? Do they feel like I don't care because I'm leaving early? Right. Or they feel like, okay, he come and he stayed just long enough. That's what I do.
Well,
when I visit, I usually am brief. I'll come in and just...
Yeah, I'm going to be brief, but sometimes I've been in there and I'm saying, well, I'm going to go, no, please don't. And they're almost begging you. At that point in time, you're released to stay and stay a while because they're wanting your company.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and there's a reason that hospitals usually limit the number of visitors in a room, maybe two or three, whatever it is, because it can be very wearing to the person who is sick.
Yeah.
I can remember my mother was in the hospital, and there was, of course, my dad being a minister also, there was a lot of minister friends that would come by, and they were brief. They would come in and they'd come out. And there was someone that came in, and actually it wasn't a minister, but it was someone for hospital visitation that came in and had prayer. Said, can we have prayer with you? This is an ICU. And the prayer probably went 10 or 12 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
And after a few minutes, my brother and I are kind of, you know, we're trying not to be disrespectful, but we're looking up going, okay.
Yeah.
You know, do we hit him in the back of the knees? Yeah. What do we do? You know, because, I mean, there comes a point in time when you've lost your effectiveness at that point.
So,
and you're not talking just about healing at that point in time. You've gone into other stuff. And
you're preaching.
That's right. Yeah. And you may be feeling good and nobody else is, you know, at that point.
An old memory for me is I had a car wreck years ago and broke a windshield in my head and was in surgery and had lost a lot of blood and was very weak. And I'm in the hospital. My wife is sitting to my right. This is a vivid memory, and it was 20 years ago, okay? Mm-hmm. my wife is sitting to my right, and I'm there, and I'm awake, and a couple is sitting, is standing at the end of my bed. He is looking at my wife to my right and talking to her. The spouse, lovely couple, we love them dearly. The spouse is staring at me, or at least it feels like she's staring at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired. All I want to do is sleep. And I doze off. I catch myself. I wake up. She's still staring at me. This happens three times. At the end of the third time, she looked at her husband. She said, if we'll leave, he'll go to sleep. He said, oh, okay. They said their goodbyes. They walked out of the room, and I slept for 3 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying you need to be a little more sensitive to the individual that's in the bed.
Absolutely.
You know, if they can't keep their head up, you don't need to be standing there holding their hands.
That's the important person in the room.
I think we need to take just another quick break here real quick.
I think you're right.
We'll come back, and we'll talk. We'll wrap some things up, talk about some things that we've talked about, maybe some new information. And you're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean in the studio with you on the Planning for Tomorrow radio show. Gene, I want to take just a minute here and make sure our listeners know, and many do, about our website, pftradio.com.
Yes, it's a very good website, very informational.
A lot of good information on there. Our shows are podcast on there. And so you can also download those podcasts there also. You can download resources. We've had attorneys on our show in the past that's provided us documents. Documents that we have actually created are on there also. A ton of different information. You know, how to choose a nursing home. Giving you some tips on how to do that, families that are doing that. How do we protect mom and dad's assets that's going into nursing homes. Just a ton of information. Pre-planning for funerals. And then some, I think we need to maybe create a tip list of what we've talked about here today, because I think the hospital visitation thing is very important, and definitely some things that Pastor Keith has really brought up with regard to what we should do, what we should say, and what we shouldn't say, and maybe things that we could do that would be helpful to people.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've said many times, Gene, we've talked about, and I think even in our work life, it has sent the message that, okay, you get 3 days bereavement.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sends a silent message that maybe it's over after 3 days.
Yeah, certainly.
And it's not. You know, it's not. It's just beginning.
Just began.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just began. And so, you know, we'll definitely be putting some information up about the show today. Of course, the show will be podcast. But,
mm-hmm. Of course, one thing, Fred, is that, you know, maybe as you say, you get 3 days bereavement leave. I do think that although that is not the time period in which you, quotes, get over it,
right.
Nevertheless, I think if you can get back to your normal schedule, if you're a worker or whatever it might be, the volunteer things that you do, it will help you.
Idle mind is not good.
I agree.
You've got to stay busy. I think that's not for everybody, but for me, the busier I am, the seems like the healthier my mind is in general, and then especially when I've grieved a loss. If I sit and dwell on it, that's when depression will creep in on you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's when oppression, that's when a whole bunch of different things will creep in on you, and you don't even realize it's there until you're going through it, and then you don't know how to really get out of it.
Exactly.
Well, stopping is the wrong thing to do.
Right.
Yeah.
You have
mm-hmm.
to move forward. But at the same time, and I don't know why I'm hammering on these tears today, but even if you were going back to work and sitting at your desk, the tears flowing because you're still grieving, I think that's a good thing. You have moved forward in getting back to work and trying to get life back to whatever normal looks like at that point in time. Mm-hmm. But you're not finished grieving.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
But we have that perception, I can't shed a tear at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you can. And let your fellow employees hug on you a little bit if it has to take
mm-hmm.
that.
Absolutely.
You know, but we have this this idea that we have to be strong as a rock. We have to never, ever shed a tear. And that's the wrong idea.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you do that, like you said, Fred, they start to reverse back into a shell.
Mm-hmm.
Home is comfortable because I can lay in bed and cry for hours. Work is not comfortable because I can't show any emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And not showing emotion is the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And grieving has changed so much in, what am I going to say, 100 or more years.
Yeah.
I happen to be, I was doing a conversation this week on the air about this really popular public television series, Downton Abbey. And I had a book and an author, and in one section of it, it was talking about Queen Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's going back years and years and years. But the quote when Prince Albert died was she said that her life as she knew it was over.
Right.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
And,
but there's a lot of people
things
that feel that
different.
Way.
Yeah, but...
Well, no, but that's the truth.
Yeah. Well, the life,
as she knew it
is over.
Is over.
Yeah.
And it goes to what I always refer to as that new normal.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because whatever your normal was prior... I mean, let's face it. We've got this news that mom or dad, let's say, is in critical condition. And so we've just entered, our old normal has just been adjusted.
Yes.
But it's not completely adjusted, right? Because we're still, we've got this, as human beings, as Christians, we hold this hope out that something miraculous is going to happen and it's all going to turn around. So we've not really entered that new normal yet. We've just kind of adjusted normal, I guess I would say. And then when the death occurs, that's when the new normal takes place. Because whatever that new normal is, the old is completely gone. I mean, you think about it. Grief on several different levels. Grief from the loss of that loved one. Grief from, my husband and wife, as husband and wife, we always used to go out with these other couples, these other five couples. Now it's just me. Am I going to be alienated from going out with those other couples? And when I do go out, it's just me with other couples.
I'm no longer a couple,
Exactly. So that's a whole different kind of grief.
Well, it is. And some couples, you think maybe they're good friends.
Right.
But you don't feel comfortable. Other friends, other couples make you feel very, very comfortable.
Right.
So, it's a lot depends on who the friends are.
It is, and I think a lot of times those friends, there could be some, but for the most part, I think that most of those friends don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable.
Oh,
but
no,
again, they don't know what to say. They don't know how to react.
So we're back to where
that's
we
started.
That's
why we're trying to educate them here on planning for tomorrow. But good point, Keith. I mean, the tears are important, and you know, I made a note right here. And I don't know really how this has become associated together, but a lot of times when we talk about tears or crying, it's associated with weakness.
That's right.
And
especially for a man.
Yeah, and I really don't know how that has come about. I would love to know. I mean, maybe something I can work on as a research project now. But, you know, why is it that tears are considered weakness? Because that's really the farthest thing from the truth.
Well, it's associated with pain.
Right.
You know, we cry out when we're in pain. We cry out grieving. So it's associated with pain. Any time a tear is brought up, it's not usually tears of joy.
Right.
They're tears of pain, so you avoid them.
Right. Mm.
And you can't avoid that, especially in grief. You've just got to work through it, walk through it.
When the tears flow, that's typically when the healing begins.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, because when we're not crying or we're not, and that's not always associated with tears and crying, because we talked about how some don't cry.
Right.
But we have to be able to figure out how to get this that's building up inside of our body, inside of our mind and our heart and all these things. We've got to figure out how to get those out, so whether it's speaking it out, whether it's crying it out, whether it's sharing it with a friend, a dog. I mean, I've had people tell me, you know, hey, I've told my dog, since my spouse has died, I've told my dog things, and I feel so much better. That's fine, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, get it out. Because
Fred, something we've never touched on, the death of a family pet.
Pet. That's a huge thing.
I mean, I'm not an animal lover, but I know folks that... They're their life.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've talked about that before, haven't we, Jean?
People frequently tell me that I need to get a cat because I do like cats, but I'm afraid I'm going to start talking to that cat.
When the cat talks to you, Jean.
That's in trouble.
That's right.
When they answer you, you're in trouble. That's right.
But I think we've talked about a whole lot of different things here today that's been real helpful, some helpful tips that... You know,
I think you should mention again that the Five Wishes pamphlet is still available.
Yeah, the Five Wishes document is still available at Henson Mortuary. You can call the offices there. It's 304-736-8986. This document is a free document. It's not going to cost you anything. Matter of fact, we have notaries that are on staff that we can actually notarize this for you, make it a legal document. And it's great to have a copy of this once you get it all filled out. You keep a copy. We'll even make copies for you if you want. But have a copy of this in your medical file with your physician.
It should. I was just going to say that, Fred. Yeah. You're exactly right. It should be with your family physician.
Exactly.
Especially if there's a medical power of attorney part of that.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's a
biggie.
Absolutely.
And there's a place on here where we can cut this out and have a wallet card laminated for you. That way you can put that in your purse or your wallet. But it'll have everything spelled out here as far as your wishes. And like Pastor Keith mentioned and Gene mentioned earlier, this document is one of the first things they're going to ask you when you go in the hospital to have some type of procedure. I don't care if you're going to have tonsils taken out, whatever it is, they're going to ask you if you've got this done. And then here's the thing. We've talked about this in the past, Gene. Why not go ahead and do this in advance? Because when you go into the hospital and you haven't done it, now you're doing it in an emergency situation.
Under duress.
You're having to make decisions under duress, which is the worst time to make decisions. And you might check a box that you ordinarily wouldn't have checked. Or, you know, you might choose someone that you ordinarily wouldn't have chosen. So do this while you're thinking clearly.
As you said earlier, it's a good New Year's resolution.
It is. It's a great document. I mean, you know, we've talked about on the show with our attorneys we've had about the importance of having a will, the importance of having all of our affairs in order, the pre-planning, things like that. This is a great start right here. This is something we've got to have.
If you're a single adult, you need to do it, especially now. Because a lot of times, I'm like you, if something happens to me, I'm expecting my wife to step in.
Right.
But we need that because if something happens to both of us, now our children are making decisions that they're not prepared to make.
Right, that's
right. And you bring up a really good point too, with your wife making those decisions for you.
Yeah,
that's excellent. But here's the thing:
you need to talk about it.
You need to talk about it because now she's put in a position to where she can't talk to Keith or she can't talk to Fred,
right?
Because we're in a coma or whatever is going on with us or in surgery, and she's having to say, well, what would he want? Now she's got all this pressure on her to try to answer. I mean, we think we know what each other wants, but sometimes when you're answering
these type of questions,
it's a big deal.
And I think a lot of people may think, well, I'm much too young to have to fill out a living will or a medical power of attorney. You're not.
No.
Whatever age you are.
If you're two, you're not too young.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know you have your parents doing that, but again, if that immediate loved one is gone, who takes care of what?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
So it's a great document, the Five Wishes document.
Yeah.
Again, it's free, and we have free notary services to notarize that document.
And these are available at Henson Mortuary on
Resource Center
East P. Ridge Road.
Yeah, Resource Center at Henson Mortuary on East P. Ridge Road, and 736-8986. Call and get a copy of that. Pastor Keith, it's been awesome having you on the show today.
I've enjoyed it, Fred. This is my first time on radio, so I've enjoyed it.
Well, you acted like an
thank
expert.
You,
enjoy it again. You're
that's
welcome.
Right. Really will. I feel like we hopefully give the listeners a lot of insight today.
I think so. I think we did.
I think we did, too.
It's been good to have Keith here, contact minister at Christ Temple Church.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. Well, Gene, another good show wrapped up and put on the books here. And
something I need to mention, Fred, I almost forgot, but Jim Castor was on the air with me the other day, and he's having a book signing tomorrow for his new book, which is wonderful, Legendary Local People in Huntington. And I promised him that I would mention the time and place for tomorrow because he did not have it at his fingertips. So, listeners, Jim Castor will have his book signing tomorrow, Saturday, at Empire Books from 4 to 6 p.m.
Have a good day.
This is your home of Super Bowl 47, Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRBC Huntington. Hey!